Hello there and season's greetings as we look ahead to the last official EFL podcast before Christmas. There's been a very good boy at Hull City who has the Tigers dreaming of a return to the Premier League come the end of the season. Liam Rossignol used to work with us at Sky Sports but is now a firm fixture on the touchline and is doing very well indeed. He's this week's very special guest.
I'm really fortunate to be in this situation and I want to be in this job for a long, long time. You know, I want to have a really positive career to witness, and I know in order for that to happen, I have to work really, really hard to ensure that happens.
Speaking of Sky Sports, the voice for the big EFL moments is Gary Weaver. He's back to co-host, and Wickham legend turned gaffer Matt Bloomfield takes on our 72 in 72 right here on the official EFL podcast. So this is it, the final official EFL podcast before Christmas. We're all absolutely giddy, excited, ready to roll. Two very special people with me. I'm just going to set the scene first because if you're watching this, you'll see that Gary Weaver is stood in front of a railing, a very red set of railings. So much red around him that it's possibly hurting him. We won't delve any deeper into that. He is on the gantry at one of the most iconic football stadiums on the planet. Gary, where are you and what's he doing?
I'm sat completely on my own. In a 57,000-seater stadium, so on my own as usual, boys. At Anfield, yeah, so off the bench to do Liverpool, West Ham in the League Cup tonight. So anything could happen. There's tours going on. You'll never walk alone. Might blare out while we're talking. Obviously, my colleagues from Sky and your colleagues, Prutt, and your former colleagues, Liam, that are setting up away to our right. So anything could go on, and the wind is whipping up here as well. So, yeah, interesting.
You've referenced our guest. A guest, a friend, a former colleague. He never writes, he never texts. He's got bigger fish to fry. He's a busy man. Liam Rossignol, hello.
Hello, fellas. How you doing? It's nice to see your beautiful faces, man.
Lies immediately.
He's lying. His first gambit is a lie, Weaver. That's terrible. Lovely to see you, Liam. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's get bang up to date. 3 goals, 3 points, and a 3-year deal. What a week it's been so far for you and the Tigers.
Yeah, life comes in threes, it must be like. it's been great, man. I've enjoyed every minute since I took the job just over a year ago. I've loved every minute being back here, Price. You're a whole lad. You know what this club means. You know what this club means to the community. And I was really lucky to be promoted here as a player to the Premier League. And now the aim is to try and do it as a manager, which is really exciting. Really enjoyable, really tough. I've got some extra powder in my hair to it doesn't look so strong. But I'm enjoying every minute of it. So for me to commit my future to the club was a no-brainer. And you know, I'm looking forward to many more good times to come, hopefully.
Seems nice and balanced at the moment, which is something that doesn't necessarily happen in football. The squad that you've got, the players that you've brought in, the players that you're bringing in literally as minutes tick by. Obviously, presumably Billy's there to make sure the average age of the squad goes up a little bit. I'm joking, Billy. You're going to be a wonderful addition. We know exactly what you can do in the champion. Billy Sharp swapping LA for the East Riding of Yorkshire. So we'll see how that turns out. It's fascinating. And is it so far, given what your experience has been, take Derby for example, has it been what you expected at Hull City as a manager?
Good question. What I expect, I don't think you can expect anything as a manager. You have to be adaptable every day. There's something new. We had our Christmas dinner today. It was beautiful. Kareem, the chef, cooked it. But 2 days ago, he comes into my office with a list of desserts that are and aren't allowed. And I have to say yes or no to what desserts the lads can have. You know, it's things come up every day that you wouldn't imagine, you know, as a manager. But I absolutely love it, Prats. You know, I love the day-to-day. I love working with players on the training pitch. I love trying to create a spirit and togetherness. I think from the time that we worked together, I hope any person that works with me now as a manager, I haven't changed. You know, I've had managers who were players and all of a sudden their ego gets really big and they think they have to be something they're not. I'm still myself, you know, and if I fail being myself, at least I've been myself along the way. So it's a really relaxed place to be at the moment. We've got a lot of demands on each other. Because I think we can be successful. But at the same time, I just want a group of people that enjoy doing what they do. And I think the players are showing that on the pitch at the moment as well.
Liam, which desserts were banned? And secondly, because I probably ate them all.
You need to get down there, Reeves. The chef's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And secondly, I was going to say, I mean, obviously, we spent a lot of time with each other. We've spoken many times. How big a decision was it to go out on your own? I know you always wanted to do it. And what have been the differences? Because I know at Derby, Wayne and Philip Cocker before that, they did let you have free rein, really, with the coaching.
Yeah, I think it's a different skill set to be a manager. I think the experiences that I had with you guys as well in terms of analysing the game was fantastic. And also it helped me how I come across in the media. But it was always my plan in my life, Weaves, to become a manager. It wasn't something where I finished playing and all of a sudden it was like, right, what am I going to do? You know, I've been working on this for years in the background of being a player. I still got a pro license when I was still a player. I think I'm one of the only people in the world that have done that because I was dedicated to it. So for me, it's a natural progression and those experiences have really helped me. So, you know, I saw my dad be a manager. You know, I lived that with him. You know, I saw him take it home after a win or a defeat. I try my best not to do that with my kids now, which is hard. I'm sure they tell you I fail at that. But no, it's something. It's a job that you have to be prepared for. You know, you have to work hard. It's not just, I'd say 20% of it max is about football and coaching. 80% is people and relationships. That's what the job is. And it's getting people to buy in. And it's also being demanding and actually having standards that if people don't adhere to those standards or values, you have to let them go, you know, and that they're the things that you have to learn along the way. So I'm learning all the time. I'm learning about myself. And so far, I'm really enjoying every moment. And I include the defeats in that as well, because it's a real challenge when you lose a game of football to pick yourself back up and go again. But if you don't, the players won't and your staff won't. So you have to be the first one in. You have to lead from the front. And I'm enjoying that element of it at the moment.
I get the feeling there's the different players bring out different challenges, different questions to answer, different buttons to push. Is a Jadon Philogene different to a Liam Delap? Is an Aaron Connolly different to an Ozan Toufan? You know what I mean? You've got such a broad spectrum of players to be able to pick from. And there's so many bases being covered. Is that where the minutiae of the job really does thrill you? Because we've seen Ozan perform wonderfully well at this level. We've also seen him be out of the team from form and fitness. We've seen Aaron, a player that you've known before, being the boss at Hull City, and what Jadon's done since he's been in the side, and what Liam did in other Championship clubs, and now what you're getting out of him at Hull City. Do you rub your hands together and say, right, come on, you're next. Let's see what we can do with you. Let's see what we can do with you.
I think that's the part of the job I enjoy the most, is the interaction with the players. I love it. We constantly do one-to-ones here. Myself, Justin Walker, Andy Dawson. I think the players are sick of the sight of us. They know exactly... We have so many meetings, and it's also like timing, when you speak to players, when you don't, when you have to leave them to let them work it out for themselves. But for me, I always said when I did this job, I want to be the manager that I wanted to play for, you know, because I think if we speak about the managers that we really wanted, that we really did our best at, it was managers that we really respected, and it was managers that we trusted and who were honest with us. So for me, I try and lift that now. And the great thing for me as well is we've got so many different nationalities here, so many different types of cultures, so many different types of body language. And it's finding the little things that make them tick and motivate them, whether it's their families, whether it's money, whether it's football itself. Jadon Philogene just loves the game. He absolutely loves football. So we talk about football all the time. I think they're the relationships that you have to build to get the best out of individuals. And I'm absolutely loving it at the moment because I've got a really, really good set of lads.
In terms of playing style, Liam, as well, we see a lot of coaches these days playing out from the back, wanting to play a possession-based game. Obviously, you do the same. I mean, it's part of that because a lot of players come through the academy system playing that way these days, so they understand it. And do players want to know more these days in terms of being educated about why, I don't know, why a goal kick's going to the keeper or, you know, stuff like that?
Well, I think for me, Weaves, there's something from when I was a child. Like, my dad grew up under John Lyle at West Ham. Now, if you look at the players who came through West Ham, Michael Carrick, Joe Cole, Glenn Johnson, there was a real... West Ham was known as the Academy of Football. And my dad loved being at West Ham. And he always used to speak to me about... But I used to watch Ajax when I was a kid. You know, I used to watch Arrigo Sacchi's AC Milan. Like, I loved the game. So my idea of football is something that probably wasn't perceived to be English until maybe 5-10 years ago. Mm. You know, so for me, it's what I believe in. And what's happened, I think, now, if you look at the coaches that are being recruited in the Championship, we're all in and around our 40s or early 40s, late 30s. The game's evolving. I think the Championship now tactically is up there as one of the best leagues in Europe. I think there's some outstanding coaches in it. And I think teams now want to develop players. And I think the only way you can develop players is allow them to make mistakes and express themselves. You know, you can't just kick the ball forward and say, well, we touched it 3 times a game and we won. Players don't develop. you don't develop their value. So you have to be brave. You have to really believe in it if you're going to do it. You can't just say, I'm going to play out. It doesn't work and you start kicking the ball forward. You have to stick with it. And fortunately for me, I've got the patience of Ajin and Tan above me who believe in that way as well. And so far, that's why it's working well here.
What's the owner like? I know it caused ripples and waves coming in. And I tell you what, from the outside looking in, Liam, there was an approach he brought straight away. There was a road he went down, which he then realised that maybe that wasn't the one for Hull City. He seems a man that has got the charisma, but not necessarily the ego that can sometimes come with not admitting this isn't working, we need to change tack. And he, broadly speaking, he's done that. And that big smile on your face suggests that he's a man that you get along with.
He's unbelievable, Prats, honestly. I remember this time last year, we were playing Sunderland and me and my wife flew to Istanbul with him. And he took us to the World Cup final. He's wow. And he just told me, you're coming, get on a plane, you're coming to the World Cup. And obviously things like that. He's a really caring, giving person. He genuinely cares about people. And one of the things that isn't spoken about me, he's one of the most intelligent people I've ever met in my life. And it doesn't surprise, it shouldn't surprise anyone because of the success that he's had in his career. He's built up his business from zero, from scratch. And now he's the most famous guy other than the president of Turkey. Like, you go out to Turkey and it's incredible. Everybody knows him. It's the maddest thing I've ever seen. But he's really, really intelligent and really, really cares about people. I think that's a really good combination to have in an owner. You know, he's always calling me and giving me advice, not telling me what the team should be, just giving me advice and seeing from his perspective. Mm-hmm. And he knows that I'm really open to that and I want to learn. So we get on great. And regardless of how well or how badly things go from here, I know I will always be able to pick up the phone to him and ask for his advice. And that's a really, really good place to be.
Liam, just taking you back to when you said earlier on about you always wanted to be a manager. I remember you were telling me that as a 10-year-old, you drew a picture of you sitting in the dugout being a manager. And also, when you were at Brighton and you were injured, you used to watch games from the mouth of the tunnel rather than go up in the stands with the rest of the injured players just to get a pitch-side view for the future as a manager. I mean, it's been burning brightly throughout, hasn't it?
Well, yes. It's mad. I'm actually going to see my dad tomorrow. We're playing Bristol City. So I'm actually going to go. My dad lives in Portishead just outside of Bristol. My dad said he's not going to... My dad's got the picture. He said he's not going to release the picture until I manage England, and then they'll release it to prove it. So he's holding on to that. And in terms of me wanting to be a manager, I'm a weirdo. Like, I've always planned and prepared for it. Ask any of the lads I played with, they'd tell you from the age of 21, I was studying games, watching games for my passion. So yeah, when I was injured, I would go and stand at the dugout view because I know watching it from that view is different from watching it in the stand. It's easy from the stand. It's easy to sit up there and say, oh, you should do this and you should do that. And it was funny because when I started coaching again after I did the punditry work with you guys, a lot of managers were going, oh, it's not so easy now on this side of the fence, is it? So look, you have different perspectives. I've tried my very best to be prepared to do this job, and I'm just going to enjoy it and enjoy the ride as we go.
So I mentioned Billy Sharp before. It's going to be busy, obviously, January, as it tends to be with regards to where Hull City are. You've got a man there that knows how to get the team over the line. You know how to get a team over the line. Currently sat sixth. Shows where the ambition lies, doesn't it? You're not here just to be rubbing shoulders in the race. You want to be dipping your nose out and getting ahead of the pack, really, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's not arrogant to say that. I think there's probably 12 teams in this league, 15 teams in this league who should have exactly the same mindset. You know, I've said to the lads, I watch Luton play magnificently at home to Manchester City. You know, and I showed the lads a league table actually today of this time last year after 22 games. All of the teams that were in the top six, in the playoff positions, didn't make the playoffs. And actually it was Middlesbrough, Luton, Coventry, and who was the other one? They were 12th, 13th, 14th and 15th at this stage in the league last year. You know, so we've achieved absolutely nothing. This is a crazy league. And what we have to do is make sure we maintain our consistency levels, because this league, if you think you've cracked it, it will come back and bite you.
I was going to say, Liam, in terms of, you know, Prutz alluded to January there, you've got Premier League loan players at the club. How important is it to you, and how much is it, you know, a feather in your cap, really, that Premier League clubs trust you with their talent to develop them?
Yeah, massive. I think that's been a huge thing. That was one of the priorities when I joined the club, actually. We spoke about this, was developing a style of play that made us an attractive club for the best clubs in the country and the best clubs in Europe to want their best young talents to come here. So for us to sign the likes of Liam Delap and Tyler Morton, with a lot of competition. Jaden Philogene, yeah, we had so much competition for him. You know, the agent, the owner, myself, we worked really, really hard to prove to him we could develop him here, you know, and that comes through style of play. So their development, I was so proud. I went to the City Ground to watch the under-21s play. I saw Jaden score. I saw Liam score. And they're rubbing shoulders with Man City players like Rico Lewis. And you're seeing Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, and three Hull City players in the squad. That makes me really proud to be a Hull City manager at the same time.
It's so lovely to chat and catch up. I mean, we don't get people on here that we dislike, and
now you're the one who's lying.
But I know. But you should see Weaver's list. Don't be on Weaver's list.
I know about your black book, Weaver.
I mean, that's a different thing entirely. I don't think that's made for this podcast. but to be able to kind of sit and chat, because if I now sit here and you start reminiscing about. Particularly our take on it, which is the easy stuff, drinking coffee, eating biscuits, and me going, Liam, what on earth are they doing? And you're explaining it to me in basically in idiot-proof terms. So if I could understand it, anybody can. So we get you on, we speak to you, we talk to you now, and we've always tried, I think myself and Gary and everyone that we work with at Sky Sports, to, yes, it's journalistic, in inverted commas, but there's also got to be an empathy with the job. And when we are in a media sphere of instant social media reaction. That's rubbish. He's not doing that. She should be doing this. That, blah, 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 blah. I'm always rooted in the fact that having had a foot in the game a long time ago, that face value is different to what the reality is. Like Steve Cooper coming out of Nottingham Forest. Yeah. So many things, so many permutations, so many layers to that. Your approach to the media, you know what the game is, you know how to play that particular game, and you seem comfortable with it, because football and broadcast media and the game are just inextricably linked and ever will be, won't they?
Yeah, I think the key to it, perhaps, it sounds really basic. You have to win as a manager. it's what it comes down to. I could be the nicest guy in the world, say all the nicest things in the media, come across great and lose every week. I wouldn't be in a job. I think when I did the stuff with you guys, I was really clear before, you know, when we worked together, I said, I don't want to be the pundit that, you know, says a manager gets something wrong or the player made a mistake. I wanted to speak about the game in a different way to give that clarity and to give a kind of understanding of fans of how difficult this job that I'm doing now actually is. You know, it's such a hard job. You know, we speak about a player, you know, I had Alfie Jones who missed the QPR game. His beautiful daughter was being born. It's his first child. Yeah. You know, and people saying, why is he missing? Is he injured? You know, there's things that go on in players' lives, you know, that we can't, as media, we don't know. And as a manager, it's my job to protect. And it's so easy. He should be playing. Why is he on the bench? Well, could have had an argument with his wife. You know, he could have an illness in his family. You just don't know. And they're all the things that you have to manage along the way as well. So for me, it's always being respectful. I tried my best when I was on your side of the fence to be respectful to the guys in the chair that I'm in now. And now I'll try and be as respectful as possible to you guys and understand the job that you do as well.
We often say it's the easy side in the studio. I don't think it is, actually, because I think we got the easy job as commentators to say, that's what's happening. You tell us why. It's difficult. It's a difficult job, I think, being a pundit and an analyst. Not as difficult as the job you're in right now, though.
I think it's different. I think I love being a pundit and an analyst. It was a lot of fun. I get to watch football and speak about it. It's a dream. I used to bore press to death when we were sitting there watching the games, you know? And but yeah, being part of a team, being part of something every single day and then seeing, you know, nothing beats the adrenaline of winning or losing a game of football, you know. Yeah. So I'm really fortunate to be in this situation and I want to be in this job for a long, long time. You know, I want to have a really positive career doing this. And I know in order for that to happen, I have to work really, really hard to ensure that happens.
Well, it's just, I mean, we could keep you here all day, but such as a manager's lot, Liam, I'm sure you've got 101 things. I mean, dessert tasting for a start, bread making. Working out what the next main course is for tomorrow's. I mean, those lot don't know the born, do they, at Hull City? Well, it sounds amazing.
I've got a caramel and raspberry creme brulee waiting for me.
What?
That's on the ban list.
My word. And if you're watching this, of course, there's a very specific biscuit brand that if you go to the press room at Hull City, you can absolutely fill your boots with what they've got. I've heard from notable journalists from around there. We're going to take a little break. Coming up next, we've got the 72 in 72. Liam, you've taken this challenge, haven't you? I'm looking at the little list here. You were firmly mid-table, which is obviously in direct contrast to where Hull City are, which is sixth in the division. And we're going to keep a keen eye on that. Gary Weaver's going to have a little break. Liam, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for your time, my friend.
It's a glorious
thing to see. We wish you all the best, not just for Christmas and the new year, but between now and the end of the season. I've got good vibes coming out of that particular part of the world, and I think you're doing a cracking job.
Top man, Prats. Cheers, Weave. See you soon,
fellas. Cheers, Liam. Take care, buddy. I'll still be here, probably.
Of course, he sat there with all of his mates, all 57,000 non-entities that are there. Right, so we're going to hear from Gary a little bit more in a second. Liam Rossini has been wonderful. We're going to get Matt Bloomfield now, of course, the Wycombe Wanderers boss. He's going to give his 72 in 72.
Hi, I'm Matt Bloomfield, and this is my 72 in 72. Exeter, Lincoln, Orient, Burton, Bristol Rovers, Northampton, Southampton, Plymouth, Ipswich, Carlisle, Fleetwood. This is fun, isn't it? Colchester, Mansfield, Wrexham, Notts County. Oh my God, my mind goes blank. Oxford. This is mental. AFC Wimbledon, Charlton, Gillingham, Norwich. Mine goes blank. Fleetwood, Accrington, Harrogate, Grimsby, Rochdale. No, they got relegated last year. I'm trying to think of the games we were done last year. No. Carlisle, said them. Lots of oh my God, your mind goes blank.
So that was this week's 72 in 72. Ironically, Matt Bloomfield scored the same amount of points as our guest just now, Liam Rossini, both on 23, right in the middle of our table. Matt Smith, unassailable, currently at the top. Richie Wellens, Wayne Rooney, John Coleman, Marco Brighton, Joe Bryan, Rossini, Bloomfield, Andrew Moran, Valerian Ishmael, Alfie May, Gary Rowett, Stuart Dallas, Ruben Colwell, and Aaron Ramsey. I say it every time. I mean, it's not going to change. He's still propping up the bottom unless we get someone who was equally as bad. Time will tell. That isn't the world falling in or the sky collapsing on Gary Weaver. If you listen to the first part of the podcast, he's at Anfield, ready to do the game tonight for Sky Sports. He's on the gantry. Have anyone rocked up of any note? Have you been pestered by anyone? Because that tannoy is very loud, isn't it?
Is it too loud for you? There's a tour going round, Bruts.
Really?
Which is what they obviously do at the end of the tour.
Yep.
Comes You'll Never Walk Alone. So that's why it's playing out at this moment in time, mate. Lovely Jerry Marsden. Jerry.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Lovely voice.
I presume as we talk, it will build to a crescendo if they're playing the whole song.
Potentially. It's going to carry on. It's going to carry on, mate.
If you
join against it, we'll be all right.
If you joined in, is that kind of against everything you hold dear and believe in?
No, not at all. I bought Prescott Cables. I keep telling you, don't I? Prescott Cables, my friend.
Listen, let's just have a listen.
Go on.
It's a beautiful song. And at Anfield, when that's in full swing, when you hear the cop, when you hear that whole stand sing as one. Here we go. Come on. Listen. With hope. In your heart, Weaver, and you are walking alone because you're sat in that stadium all by yourself.
I am at this moment in time. By the way, we've not referenced your Christmas jumper yet, have we?
No, I wore it specially. It's the hottest piece of clothing I own and the itchiest. So if I look like I've run a marathon,
one of them, is it?
It's because of that. You're at Anfield now. At the weekend, you were at Portman Road, not Carrow Road. There's a Freudian slip for you.
Yeah.
Ipswich against Norwich, the East Anglian derby. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was, and I've got to say, we talk about the atmosphere here in Liverpool. The atmosphere at Ipswich on Saturday was brilliant. I was looking out the window at the back of Portman Road about 10 in the morning, and the Ipswich fans, a lot of them had marched by the stadium to welcome the Ipswich bus with the flares. Mm-hmm. The noise was unbelievable. The buzz around the town of Ipswich at the moment and what they're doing is quite incredible. It's blue and white everywhere. And Bruts, I know you were obviously broadcasting from the studio at the time. When the players ran off, at the end of their warm-up. Never heard a roar like it for the end of a warm-up. But it was some game. It was some game. Ipswich were excellent, I thought.
Yeah.
Norwich, though, dug their heels in. The Norwich fans were singing at the end, 14 years, because that's how long it's been since Ipswich beat Norwich in the East Anglia derby. But Ipswich missed some big chances. But Norwich can still take the draw away. And the way they dug in and were resolute, which will please David Wagner. But I thought Ipswich were excellent.
Yeah, they were. They were super. And let's be honest, they should have been out of sight by halftime. But as you say, it's phenomenal, really, their season so far. That gap between themselves and third. A slight cynical look at the goals they're conceding, the amount of goals they're conceding, because anymore, and you're looking at a team that possibly wouldn't go up automatically in years gone by. However, a thrilling game. Another good game on Monday night, which was Birmingham City against Leicester City. Never a dull moment with the Foxes, is it?
No, and we avoided the Wagatha Christie kind of sideshow, didn't we? Because Jamie Vardy, no mystery, he was just out with a knee injury. But I mean, Leicester, again, they showed how devastating they could be on the counter-attack. Two counter-attacking goals, which cost Birmingham started well. Then James Justin, I'm sure it wasn't in the plan with the set piece, hit his own post. And Leicester raced up the pitch and scored. But it just shows they can score from anywhere at this moment in time. And I mean, 13 points clear of third place. That is some going pruts. I mean, Enzo Maresca, I spoke to him a few weeks ago and he said the championship is tougher than he actually thought it was going to be. And you're thinking, but look where you are. But he's right. You know, every week, different challenge. But 13 points clear of third spot. I mean, they're going to take some stopping now.
It's funny you should say that because in practical and real terms, it looks very straightforward for them.
Yeah.
But then I suppose if you turned around and said that, then we'd all be pointing the finger for another reason. Further down, big win for Sheffield Wednesday against QPR. That was a battle down at the bottom. A 94th minute winner for the Owls, who seem to be broadly moving in the right direction. Just that points differential's not getting any smaller anytime soon. We spoke to Liam Resenia at Hull City, new 3-year deal for him. He's doing a wonderful job, currently sixth spot in the championship. And I'm bouncing around a little bit because we know this division is carnage. So Alex Neil left Stoke, another man that we know very, very well and have worked with. We wish him all the best in his future endeavours. Liam Richardson is in at Rotherham. But obviously in the intervening period of time, we've got Michael Beelan at Sunderland. Stephen Schumacher has left Plymouth Argyle for Stoke City. A wonderful job he did with the Green Army. Let's go first with Michael Beelan at Sunderland. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm annoyed with myself because when we did those Sunderland games last week, I was thinking to myself, I wonder why Michael Beale's name's not being mentioned. And I didn't even mention it either because I was looking at the other coaches that they were being linked with. He did well at Queen's Park Rangers, didn't he? Mm-hmm. We know what happened there. And he went up to Glasgow Rangers. Didn't particularly work out for him there. He says he was pulled in different directions. He hasn't clarified that, so what that means I'm not too sure, but he's obviously got a reputation of working with young players. Where I am here, Liverpool tonight, you know, he worked with young players here, develops young players, and you know, if you talk to coaches who've been with Michael Beale and seen his presentations when he presents to the pro license course, they will tell you he's an unbelievable coach. In many respects he came from nowhere really into the running to get the job, but again, works with young players. That's the Sunderland philosophy now. They want to bring in young players, play them, increase their value, sell them on, whilst also trying to make their way to the Premier League.
Which sounds impossible when you put it in that. Sell your best players, but get to the Premier League. Right, time will tell. And January will be very interesting, given the quality of players that they've got currently in the building. One of your brethren from that particular part of the world, Stephen Schumacher, has got himself slightly closer to where he's originally from, moving from Plymouth to Stoke City. This one, there's been obviously you look at it. There's been managers that we know that we work with that have been in at Stoke City. Nobody's solved that puzzle as yet. That Premier League return puzzle. It's a very well run football club, just on the pitch that hasn't been reflected, has it? So Stephen's taken the plunge. He's taken the challenge on. He leaves a very comfortable and well-loved part of the world who absolutely took him to the hearts, given the fact he was there as a number two with Ryan Lowe as well. What's his thinking behind this?
Look, do you turn down Stoke City if they come calling for you? What I would say, Pruts, you mentioned there about Stoke. They've got brilliant owners, really good owners who will back you and back their manager and, you know, that they will hope Stephen Schumacher is the one to crack the code. You're right with Argyle. You know, we've said many times we had Stephen on to me not so long ago, and it's a great place to go and live and watch football there in terms of the atmosphere and how that club is the heartbeat of the city. I would imagine because Steve moved his family down there, you know, a few years ago, as you mentioned, he was there with Ryan Lowe. So I'd imagine it was a big decision in terms of, you know, he had that city in the palm of his hand, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then suddenly he's leaving. I know Simon Hallett, the owner there, you know, he would have seen this coming. We had a conversation earlier this season about Steve Schumacher and the clubs that potentially could come for him. So he knew at some point this would happen, maybe not at this moment in time, but I guess with Simon, the Argyle owner, is that once he starts seeing Sunderland changing manager, Stoke changing manager, he's thinking, hang on, they could come calling for Steve. Neil Warnock lives down there, doesn't he?
That's the first time I've thought of that. That is amazing.
I'm just saying.
Possibly too early.
I know. But yeah, it's an interesting one for Argyle because they'll have to pick themselves up from this because it's a huge blow. But for Stoke, they got themselves an up and coming, well respected head coach who could be the one to take them back to the Premier League.
Correct. And obviously, eyes very firmly peeled on that. You're there for the Carabao Cup tonight, of course. There were games last night in the Carabao Cup. We saw Fulham beat Everton. Borough carried on their quest to potentially get into a major final. They beat Port Vale. And we saw Chelsea beat Newcastle United on penalties. It's some a cracking game in store for you, Liverpool, West Ham. Anyway, we're going to move on to Sky Bet League One. Pompey, 7 clear at the top. This is a division, or a top end of a division, that absolutely fascinates me because you look at Bolton, they've lost the last two. They're now 9 points behind where Portsmouth were. And I was trying to work out the basic maths of that, and I couldn't because at one stage a few weeks ago, Bolton were top. So, yeah that's completely blown my mind. Posh sits second, and in a team that's got Kwame Poku, Ephraim Mason-Clark, Ricky Jade-Jones, historically a team that knows how to climb out. We've spoken on this particular podcast about playoff heartache for them. I suppose, potentially, and this is not me trying to kind of stir up any conjecture with myself and the hierarchy at Peterborough, that their biggest challenge possibly is, given how good the players are, is that squad going to be intact come the end of the season, come the end of January?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? If you think about the fact that Jack Taylor left in the summer, Frankie Kent went as well. The next one that they're thinking about and hoping to hold on to is Ronnie Edwards, isn't it? But look, we know the way Darrow works at Peterborough. If he feels the time is right, he will always say to the player, I'll let you go, as long as they get the right deal, which he normally does. Otherwise, he won't. I think with Peterborough, as we mentioned in terms of recovering from the playoff heartache last season, you know, Johnson Clark-Harris is expected to go in January as well because he's not starting regularly because of that front four that you mentioned, Prutz. You know, the top scorers in League One, Darren Ferguson wants even more ruthlessness. They want to avoid the playoffs this season. But it just reminds me of last season's title race between, we mentioned Steve Schumacher of Plymouth and also obviously Sheffield Wednesday and Ipswich last season. It's developing into a similar kind of race, if you like, in terms of the big names at the top.
This podcast this week is carnage. I've got a delivery driver now banging on the door. There's a dog barking. You've got camera ops that we know both very well walking back and forth behind you, giving you a little dig.
I mean, happy Christmas.
If you can't go bananas at Christmas, when can you? Yes, League Two we're going to go into next. And speaking of carnage, Stockport beating Sutton United 8-0. Yeah. 4 goals in each half. A Paddy Madden hat-trick. Ryan Crosdow with a brace. Dave Chaloner was scathing of his side after defeat to Aldershot and he wanted a response.
Yeah.
Do we think he got one?
Yeah, he got it. And Sutton probably went there thinking, well, I know he did because Matt Gray, who obviously has since departed, did warn his players that Stockport would come for them after what happened against Aldershot. You know, we spoke to Dave Chaloner, haven't we, on this podcast in terms of the way he built his team this season and another one that happened to respond from what happened in the playoffs last season. I couldn't see 8-0 coming, Prutz. And, you know, Dave even said he wasn't being patronising, but he felt sorry for Sutton because that performance from Sutton wasn't Sutton. No. But Stockport, you know, just ripped them apart. And again, you know, Stockport had that brilliant start of the season, a slight wobble by their incredible standards this season, but that sent out a message that they're back on it.
You mentioned Sutton and Matt Gray. He's since parted company. It took over in 2019, led them to the Football League for the very first time in their history in 2021. Finished 8th in the first season, narrowly missing the playoffs, 14th last year. EFL Trophy final, of course, in 2022. 6 points from safety at the bottom of the division. It's such a tough one because are we looking at Matt Gray as a victim of his own success there because of where he's taken Sutton and where he brought them from?
Yeah, probably. You know, we mentioned it when we spoke about Mark Bonner in Cambridge, and it's such a shame when a wonderful story like that comes to an end like this. Mm. But I suppose that goes on in football. Obviously Sutton have fought and fought to get out of non-league, the National League, to end up in the EFL. They've got there. They don't want to go backwards. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine for the board, well, I know I've read the quotes that, you know, it was with a heavy heart that they had to do this. But yeah, it could be on the back of, you know, the success that they've had. But I just think for Sutton, again, they can't go back to the National League. They can't go back to non-league football. That is why they've made that decision. I mean, very rare that managers survive an 8-0 defeat, isn't it? But you look at those that are leading the running for the best in the betting for the job right now. Mark Bonner's up there. Steve Cotterill's up there as well. Mm-hmm. So they are two that are being looked at. Although, as I've learned from what happened with Sunderland, that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah,
they're going to be actually in the job. But you feel for Matt Gray and just in terms of the wonderful work he did to take them there, to take them to Wembley, the AFL Trophy final, as you say, and now he's out of a job. But I'm sure he won't be short of offers.
He shan't. Troy Deeney was part of the coaching staff at Forest Green. David Horseman has left by mutual consent, which now means that Troy, a very storied career playing-wise, is now taking over in a player coach capacity. Obviously, that's what he was there in his first incarnation. He's now there as the boss, 35 years old, his first foray into this particular side of what football's got to offer. Forest Green owner Delvin said he needed to act decisively to improve the performances and league position.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a roll of the dice. Troy was in with us the other week watching...
Is he another one that you've got a job for?
I don't want to say that, but yeah. I mean, the list is becoming long and distinguished, my friend. It's, I mean, when you take over a certain blue team in Liverpool, I'll come and be your number two and we'll see where we can take him.
But, Prescott Gables, yeah.
Yes, Prescott Gables as ever. Yeah, obviously, with due respect to the outgoing incumbent in David and who comes in Troy, it's the first step. It's a step into the unknown for Troy. We get the feeling, though, he's a man that meets these type of challenges head on.
Oh, yeah, he'll be relishing it. I mean, I think he said the other week he was talking to Gary Rowe, wasn't he, for ages about management, about, you know, training routines, about sessions. And as for Forest Green, obviously, they had a nightmare time last season. They brought Duncan Ferguson in. And Duncan tried to save them, but couldn't in the end. Then Duncan left. Mm-hmm. They made a change again. You know, Dale Vince are doing everything to try and keep Forest Green in League Two, because as we said about Sutton, you know, Forest Green, they were in League One last season. They're beating Sheffield Wednesday last season. Mm-hmm. And now they're looking over the shoulders at potentially non-league football. So, so Troy Deeney's got a job on his hands there. It's a wonderful setup there. And they are backed by the owner. So it'll be interesting to see how Troy adapts to it, what happens. But obviously the bottom two have made their moves.
Made the moves and you roll the dice, and then obviously you see what comes your way come the end of the season. Some cracking games coming our way this weekend, not least Leeds versus Ipswich. That's a big one, isn't it? The Ellen Road on Saturday lunchtime. It's a big one for you tonight at Anfield. Are you looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it. Yeah, it's I mean, do you know, from here, the view up here, we're right on the top tier of the main stand, that Liverpool built, which towers up over Stanley Park. I can see the two cathedrals away to my right, looking over the cop stand. I can see where my mum, where I grew up, just over there.
Yeah.
So West Ham, though, they arrive here. I think it's one win in 55 years. So there's about 5,000 Hammers fans coming over here tonight. Should be a brilliant, brilliant atmosphere. Place in the last four up for grabs, Prutz.
And I'm there's your intro,
by the way, just so you know.
That's your intro, isn't it? That's amazing. You've nailed it. Well, I'll tell you what, Gary, it's been lovely. And not only today, but over the course of what we've done over this first half of the season, you've been a more than welcome addition to this. It was nice to catch up with Liam as well, wasn't it?
I love Liam, honestly. As long as he doesn't change his number again, because I'll hunt him down. No. I will hunt him down, Prutz.
He specifically said, don't give Gary Weaver my new number. So that's on record now. All I can say is stay busy as you are and have a very Merry Christmas, my friend.
And you, my friend, I look forward to seeing that jumper again in 12 months' time.
Yes, highly flammable, stay away. So, firm friends, all catching up, which has all been rather lovely. A big thank you to Liam, Gary and Matt for their contributions this week. As always, if you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button and share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@afl.com. That's podcast@afl.com. My name's David Prutton, and all that's left to say from us all here on the official EFL podcast is have a very Merry Christmas.